Mic check one. Mic check two. Is this thing on? All right. Hello, everyone. First of all, I just want to say thank you to all of you for waiting as long as you have for this next installment of Adventure. As you can probably tell, I am not Bobby. He's handed the reins over to me as the Dungeon Master for Adventure, and I'm super excited to do this for the first time and, well, not muck it up. Usually we do a previously on here, but since we're starting with Season 2, as it were, there's not much to catch up on. But if this is your first time listening, we do have a year and a half's worth of episodes at your disposal, so you can go back in time and do that. But we're just going to get right into it. I want to give a big thank you to Justin Riley for giving us the soundscape for which to play in. I believe this is the beginning of a beautiful partnership. So with that, let us begin our adventure. As soon as the dust has settled on Henley's sacrifice, his phone, the one that would transport him to and fro, starts to make a noise. But it's not a ring per se, it's more beeping that's getting more and more frequent, almost as if it's counting down to something. What started as a pulse has grown into a screech, and the noise is getting louder and louder and louder. The device itself starts to shake, and as if it's trying to hold off the inevitable. And just before the siren would pierce Thrace, Julian, and Redfield's eardrums, it goes silent, and then a flash of white. Thrace, Julian, and Redfield appear suddenly in a small room. It looks like a study, and there's a desk, a chair, and walls full of books on shelves. There are no windows, and one door.
Where the hell are we?
I have no idea, but this day just keeps getting better and better.
Does this stuff happen to you guys often?
Sadly, yes. So
more often
bit.
Than it should, yes. But hey, we're adventurers. Mm. So we're just going to go with the flow, and we're just going to let's just get out of this room. Me and Julian need to go have a drink and discuss why I don't trust him anymore.
So there are no windows and no doors in this room.
That's not true. There are no windows and one door.
There are no windows and one door. I mean, I'm not very observant.
We've been through this so much before that I'm just gonna suggest something right now. I'm gonna go over and try and open the door. You know,
okay.
Just so we don't spend 20 minutes trying to discuss how to burn down the door.
Okay.
So well, I was looking
I'm gonna go over. I'm gonna try the handle, and that's what I
do. Try the handle, and it is locked.
Big surprise.
All right, Julian, burn the door down. I tried. Burn the door down,
while
Julian.
Julian is trying to burn the door down, I'm going to go over to the desk and do an investigation check on the desk.
All right. Okay. So me and Julian are standing there while he's preparing to burn the lockdown, and you're just like, yep. This is ridiculous.
I'm going to look for a clue. I got plus two on investigation, so 16, 18.
18. All right, so that's a 20. So you look at the desk. And it's kind of a flip top desk, something that you'd see in, that we would see as kids in like an elementary school, and The desk has a hinge and it can open. On the top of the desk, there is a large book, and there seems to be a piece of paper sticking out of it.
This is on top of the desk?
On top of the desk.
So I pick up the book with the paper on it, and I'm looking at the book. What is the title of this book?
You can't actually read it,
okay.
But it looks to be just a series of words over and over and over again, like a reference guide of sorts.
All right, okay. At this point, I'm going to look over my shoulder and realize that Redfield is doing something a little more productive than Julian, so I'm going to wander over and have
I'm
a look
rubbing
with them.
My hands together, or the smell of brimstone is beginning.
All right, Julian, just take a minute, all right, because you know what normally happens when we do this? It's nothing good.
Yes, we walk out of the fire into a
look,
frying pan.
Exactly. You do you if you want to. I'm just going to look at this book, okay?
Well, Redfield, let's see what you have going on over here.
So I take out the slip of paper out of the book and take a look at it.
This you can read, and it says, "No time to explain. You must warn her. Start with the star from yesterday." And it's signed with a single letter, H.
You know what that H could stand for? What if it's our good friend Henrik?
Could also be Henley.
Could he write? I forget.
I'm sorry, who's Hendley?
So, there's only one lady here, so... Thrace, start with the star from yesterday. I'm warning you.
Thanks, Redfield, but yeah, I'm not sure that's really any help.
All right, I fold up the note and I put it in my pocket, and then I open the desk. Or I try to open the desk.
Yeah, and the desk opens and there are 12 vials of what look to be kind of potions. And they're each labeled, again, you can read these.
Okay.
And there are three of each of these four types of liquids. They are the Westlake Elixir, the Shelby Solution, the Aguilera Remedy, and the Kidman/Pen Procedure.
They look like potions. They have names. I don't really...
It looks like there's one for each of us, huh?
Well, there's four of them.
Yeah, so there's one each.
Sorry, I shouldn't have been so quick to dismiss what you said.
All right, so I'm going to have a little look, and I'm going to, like, open it up and take a sniff of the first one, the Shelby, whatever it was.
The Shelby Solution? Okay. So, Thrace, you just took a sniff of it?
Yes, so I was going to... Do I have to roll an investigation?
No, you can just sniff. You can just sniff a vial.
I'm going to sniff Shelby.
Okay.
Sniff, sniff.
And then Thrace says... I'm just going to take a sniff of this Shelby solution.
Yes.
No, you say it again.
Oh. What?
Are you saying that when she sniffs it, she repeats what she said right before?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Oh. So that was odd.
You repeated yourself.
That was odd.
Are you continuing to sniff it?
Stop
apparently,
sniffing.
Apparently.
Put the cap back on.
All right, put the cap on.
Seems fairly useless if benign.
All right, so...
Okay, so that one makes us makes you repeat yourself. You know what? Why don't someone else sniff the next one?
Okay, Kidman Pen Procedure. Let's try that.
So Julian sniffs it?
I sniff it.
And so Julian sniffs it, and for about a few seconds, maybe 3 or 4 seconds, all the books on the shelves... suddenly seem to become easy for him to read.
Ooh.
Mm.
They become clear, but then they revert as if they're completely foreign to him a few seconds later.
Ooh, take a sniff quickly and look at that book on the desk that we couldn't make out.
I will try that. That's a fabulous suggestion.
Thrace, it's amazing you knew what Julian saw, even though you didn't say anything.
Well, I guess the side effect of that potion is being able to, you know, read people's minds. We'll just go with that for now.
Julian, what did you see?
The books all translated themselves, but then they went away very quickly. But let's try this book on the desk.
I wonder if you drink it, if they'll stay around a little more.
Who else knows what's going to happen? You just can't go around drinking weird shit.
We've had that problem before. Let's just take a look at the cover of that book really quickly.
Bob, the vials, you can read them. They're in the common tongue.
I'm going to hold it under my nose and go right to this book. Do I need to do an investigation check for this?
Bob, you can just take a sniff. Julian can just take a sniff of it, and you don't have to do anything.
Okay, so Redfield's holding up the book right in front of his eyes as he sniffs.
And it's a dictionary.
And
it's a dictionary.
Oh, okay. Dictionary. All righty.
Okay.
It was worth
a
try.
But it's a dictionary that we can't read normally?
Correct.
So it's a dictionary in a different
language.
Awesome.
Or magicked in some way that we can't read this.
Hmm. Well, Julian, if you're feeling brave, you can drink that potion, but...
I guess I'll take a whiff of the...
Let's see what else we have.
Aguilera Remedy.
So I pop the thing off and smell it.
And as soon as Redfield smells the Aguilera Remedy, a cloud begins to form in front of him that almost starts to look like a face. And can make out maybe a little bit of eyes and a little bit of a mouth and a little bit of definition, but then it just kind of disappears. Redfield can see it. You guys can't.
Oh, What happened?
Something trippy, like a face and a cloud. I could see some eyes and a mouth, but that was... That was it, then it went away like that. I'm starting to think that if we want these effects to last, we might have to actually drink these potions.
I think that's a very good point, but I'm not volunteering to drink it. You just said it was trippy and this figure appeared.
Well, let me smell this Westlake elixir.
Okay, last one.
So I take a sniff of the Westlake elixir as well.
After Redfield sniffs the Westlake elixir, his halfling presence just seems to grow in stature. He grows about a foot and a half, and his halfling features start to soften and almost looks human, and then reverts right back. So it's a quick up and down.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah, that was very
different.
That was
weird. What happened? What did you feel?
I just felt like I was getting a little bigger. Everywhere.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's another Hendley situation.
Oh, great.
Okay. Before we go over the vials, I just want to check out these books on the walls and just sort of investigate them a little bit. I'm going to roll an investigation check here. All right. That's a 9 plus 2, 11, Brian.
Okay. As you can see, you look at the books, you can't read any of the titles. They all look kind of uniform in the way that like legal books would. You can't read what any of them say, but there is one that kind of sticks out that's kind of shorter than the rest and looks a lot newer and is blue to their kind of drab brown and black.
All right, so I walk up and I grab that blue book off the shelf.
Okay.
All right.
And I take a look at it.
And you open it up and it is just like you see in the movies, carved out in the middle is just a perfect spot for a key.
Is there a key in there?
There is a key in there.
Okay, so I reach in and take the key.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Guys, there's a key in here.
Oh. Try it. Try it in the door.
Try that in the door.
So I run to the door and look for a keyhole. Is there a keyhole in this
there
door?
There is.
Okay, I stick the key in the keyhole.
And it opens on up.
All right. Oh, the door opens.
Door opens.
Okay, off to you, Redfield.
All right, well, wait a second. Hold on a second. And I walk back to the desk, and I pick up all the vials, and I stick them in my side bag or whatever that I've got with me.
If you see a couple of throwing axes in there, grab them for me. I leave those things everywhere.
I think they're in the ocean this time around.
Yeah.
All right, so then I walk out the door.
Okay.
The rest of us try to follow.
You guys are all following?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to follow. Yes. Yeah.
All right. So you walk into a hallway that's it's very dark. There's a little bit of what looks to be candle illumination, but they're not flickering the way candles do. They're very bright, like kind of like the orbs you'd seen hovering in the distance back at Neverwinter. And there are five doors in total. Four are on the sides, so two on each side, and one all the way down at the end of the hallway.
Okay, so four doors, like two sort of on the, you said two on the sides?
Yep, and it's a relatively narrow hallway, about probably 6 feet wide in total.
Okay, how tall?
10 foot.
So you said there's one all the way down at the end of the hall?
Yeah, there's one all the way down at the end of the hall. So essentially there are six doors in this hallway. You just came out of one, and all the way down there's one that mirrors it, and then there's two on each side. All right, so you guys are in the hallway.
All right.
Okay, so I'm just going to barge right past Redfield because I've really had enough of, you know, this ridiculousness. Yes. So I'm just going to walk past him, and I'm going to try that first door on my left.
Okay.
But I'm going to open it a little gingerly. I'm not just going to fly through. I'm just going to see if I can open it a crack if it's unlocked and just take a little peek.
So you jiggle the door handle and it is absolutely locked.
Okay. So then I'm going to move on to the next one on the left.
Okay.
I'm going to try that handle.
I take out my little glowing blue cigarette and I put it in my mouth and I draw my dagger and just like sit against the wall. Like Indian style, just watching Thrace, and I'm smoking the cigarette.
So you're trying the second door now, Thrace?
So I'm going to try the second one on the left.
All right, you jiggle that one. It is also locked. But
a
voice
yeah.
from inside says,
"What do you want?"
"Ooh, I don't know. What do you want?"
"Go away."
"No, you go away."
"Wait, this is my house. What are you?"
"Well, why am I in it then?"
"I'll call the authorities if you don't get out of here right now."
"Listen, whoever you are, I'm very confused."
And the door flings open, and there's this guy. He's probably 6'2", looks to be human, and he's wearing some dirty, ratty clothes, and he has a tough guy face on. And as soon as he sees Thrace, he goes sheet white, and tightens up and just faints.
Oh,
nice.
What happened? Oh, sorry. Guys, we have a problem.
And then a woman comes in from behind and says...
From behind him.
I'm so looking forward to this part.
Carl! Yeah. Carl, who is it? Who is it, Carl?
And this woman sees Thray standing over what we can presume to be Carl. And
yes.
Same exact thing happens. She just tenses up, lets out a shriek. Justin, that's all you. Ah, fuck it.
Yeah.
And also falls to the floor, passed out.
Oh, what is going on around here?
Thrace, what's going on? I can barely see past you.
I'm going to move out of the way. I move to the side so that Julian can poke his head around and look down at these two prone bodies.
We're off to a flying start, aren't we?
Redfield, do you have any input here? There's two people and they're just lying on the floor. I think I might have scared them a little.
Your face really did a number on them, huh?
Wow. Yeah. That's where you go straight away?
And Redfield puts his dagger back in the sheath, and he bends down and starts sort of frisking the two people on the ground.
Hey, okay.
I'm rolling an investigation check for it. 18 plus 2, 20.
Nice. The first guy, the one the closest to the door, you go through his pockets. There's nothing really on him. There's a pocket knife in his back pocket, but it looks to have an inscription on the handle, and it just says CM.
And are you gonna keep that knife? Yeah.
Okay. I take it and put it in my bag. And the lady
she doesn't have anything on her at all.
Okay, so I'm guessing that this is Carl with a C then.
It is Carl with a C.
What do you
and
want?
This lady's.
So these are both civilized. Human. They're both human.
Yes, they both appear to be human. The woman is about Redfield size.
Oh, so short. Human. Mm-hmm.
Julian, do you not have a way of checking, you know, for like...
I could check for magic. Absolutely.
Yeah, to see if they are anything other than human.
Okay.
I have detect thoughts. Want to give it a try?
If you want to, go ahead, yeah.
What do you think? Should we try this on Carl? He seems to be the most aggravated.
See what he's dreaming about right now.
Okay, so Brian, it's detect thoughts spell.
All right, you're going to need to roll a perception check. Which you've got a plus 7 in, so this should be...
Terrible, I rolled a 4.
Plus 7, 11.
Okay. Yeah.
You're detecting Carl's thoughts, and it's pretty much a blank canvas. There's just a little bit of him eating some meat. He's thinking about eating meat.
What is he thinking about, Julian?
Bacon? Mm. Which isn't bad, but not what
chewy,
we were looking
yummy
for.
Bacon.
It's been a while since I've eaten... I'm going to go in this room and see if there's any food to be had. So,
really? Redfield, you can't just walk into people's rooms
sure
and take their food.
Redfield hops over these unconscious bodies and heads into the room.
Okay. And there's very little around. There seem to be some chairs and a little coffee table. And then there's a kitchen area with a table and chairs and looks to be a big white box full of food. Because it's open, as the lady had been running out, wondering what was going on with Carl.
Right.
It must have gotten a blue apron delivery.
So I run over to the box of food, and I look in to see what's in there. Do you mean to roll to see what's in there?
No, you're going to see what's in there.
Okay.
And
what is in there?
It's very bare. Looks to be a couple of bottles of milk and a little bit of raw meat and a few fruits and vegetables.
I pick up some of the assorted fruits,
yeah,
and stick some in my bag, and take one, an apple, and I munch down on it.
All right.
Wow, Redfield, you just make yourself at home.
So, we're in some sort of weird, like, I don't know, paradoxical hallway hell dimension thing. I don't know where the hell we are. I'm gonna eat an apple if I feel like it.
I don't know where you got this whole hell dimension thing from. It seems like we're just in this old couple's house.
I'm here
eating
with you.
Their food.
You knocked on their front. You knocked on the door, and he's like, "Hey, this is my house." And we were in a hallway. I don't think that the whole place is their house.
What? Listen, whether it's their house or not, you're eating their food,
and it's delicious.
fine. And I'm going to go over and I'm going to pick up the lady because she's small. And I'm going to, like, give her a gentle shake. Wakey, wakey.
And the lady does come to, and she looks around, and she looks at Julian, and she looks at Redfield, and what's going on? And she looks right back at Thrace, and she screams again. She's out again.
Oh my goodness. Can someone else please try and wake this lady up and talk to her?
Thrace, I think you should maybe...
I'm going to go, like, stand over here and try and make myself, like, not visible. Redfield, maybe you should try.
No, I'm gonna not set her on fire, but I'm just gonna warm my hands a little bit, cast it a little, warm her up a little bit.
All right, Julian.
Wake up, lady.
So you're using a spell?
No, I'm sort of warming up to a spell, without you actually using the ray of fire. I'm not setting her on fire here. We're just trying to.
He's just poking her,
barking at her a little bit.
Okay.
With warming hands.
Okay.
Lady.
And once again, Redfield, Dally sits down like on the couch or whatever and just like takes a cigarette again and just sits there watching with like a wry smile on his face.
So, Julian, explain to me a bit better what you're doing with your hands, though.
As opposed to creating a little globe of fire that shoots across the room and sets everything on fire, it is the precursor to that. It's just sort of the pre-ignition.
Bob's basically creating like Superman 2 situation here where he's like inventing powers he doesn't have, where he just creates like slightly warmer hands.
Yes.
And then laying them on her to try to wake her up like nicely.
So let's try and put it this way. He's rubbing his hands together and warming them up.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Right. But my hands warm up a little more than anybody else.
Okay. And then you put your hands on her. So she wakes up again and she looks at Julian and she says,
"Who are you?"
"We're travelers from a distant land who found ourselves down the hole."
"Get out of my home!"
"Oh my god, all right, calm down, lady."
"Carl asked us in before he fainted. You can ask anyone."
She's passed out again. She looked cuz Thrace spoke up.
Yeah, because I said something. As soon as I said something, she looked at me and fainted again, right?
Maybe we should try the doors on the right side of the hallway.
Yeah.
Redfield gets up and steps over their bodies again and walks out into the hallway. Do you want to continue your little adventure?
No, I'm following you, Redfield. This is ridiculous. So I'm going to go out into the hallway with him.
So Redfield pulls out his dagger again, and he sort of kind of creeps up to the first door on the right now.
Okay.
So I guess I'm walking sort of diagonally back.
Sure.
Yes.
The rightmost door closest to the door we walked out of originally.
Yep.
And he tries the door handle.
And it opens. And
all right.
And there's a man sleeping on a chair with his feet up.
Right. You know what? I'm not going in this room because I apparently terrify everyone.
I think it went so well the last time that maybe. Yeah. This gentleman would love to see you.
You need to take a little attitude check.
This guy will pass that, and I'll take whatever food he has.
I'm sorry to spoil it, guys. That's all that's happening this game. You're just going to take... you're stocking up on food. That's it.
Uh-oh. I'm just me Brad Pitting from Ocean's 11, just constantly eating while you're around. He's sleeping with his feet up.
Yep.
Is there anything else in the room that we can see other than this man just sitting?
It looks like there are windows here, but the shades are drawn, and there's nobody else around. It's very similar to the last room you were in.
Okay.
But maybe just a bit dirtier.
No food box?
Okay.
There is a food box.
Okay, all right.
So, Redfield, why don't you try and wake the guy up? Or are you just going to steal his food?
So I reach into my pouch. I take out another, like a beet that I grabbed from the vegetable box. And I just take that beet and I toss it at the guy laying on the... I don't walk in the room. I'm still standing on the other side of the door.
Okay.
Just beat him with a beet.
And I take the beet and I just huck it at his head.
Oh, my God.
So he wakes up and goes, "Who's there?" And before you can answer him, he's out in the hallway... holding a, what looks to be a giant club, just maybe 36, 40 inches of wood in his hand. And he's looking right at Redfield.
Okay, but I am to Redfield's side. I'm going to try and reach out and just grab that weapon off of him.
Okay,
just take it off.
So you're going to want to roll a...
I think it's a strength contest.
Strength contest, yeah.
Yeah, strength contest, right?
Okay. Go ahead and roll.
I got 13 plus 4. So 17.
All right, let me do the same. All right, that beats my 15. So you rip that club out of his hand, and he goes, "What are you doing? Oh, what the hell is this?
Who the hell is this?
Let's all just calm down. What is your name?
Marcus. What are you doing in my home?
Marcus, I need to ask you a very important question. Is that with a C or a K?
Oh, no. No.
It's with a Q, you!
Oh, one of these guys. All right. All right. So, Marcus, where are we right now?
You're in my home.
Here's the problem with what you just said. These other two folks were laying unconscious over here.
What, they Carl said this was and their Laurel? Home.
Yeah.
Carl and Marl?
Laurel.
Oh.
Yeah, Carl and Marl.
Laurel with a Lowell. Lowell. L with an L.
Carl and Laurel. Laurel. They said this was their home.
Yeah, that's their home. This is my home. What are you doing?
It's an apartment. It's like an apartment situation?
Well, yeah, what else would it be?
I don't know. There's a weird room with just a desk back there and a bunch of books I can't read.
Oh. Is that the hell dimension?
Oh, you're not supposed to be in there. That room has been...
Well, what is that room?
Yeah.
We don't pay a whole lot to be here, but they tell us as long as we don't go in that room, we can stay.
Who
told you that?
People that run the place here. I don't know. I don't ask too many questions.
Can we see the super?
What? Yeah.
What?
The landlord? The person who
The person
overseas.
That won't let you go in that room.
Who do you pay to live here?
I just leave money out on the under the door every first of the month.
What day of the month is it right now?
It's the 15th.
Oh, that's a long time to wait for the next rent check.
I have a really important question. Are there any available? Because I have like nowhere to hang my warhammer.
I don't know that they're gonna like your kind.
My kind.
That's the problem. So who do you to get out of here then?
What do you mean to get out of here?
I guess we didn't even check all the doors yet. I will.
Just go out the front door.
Oh.
Can you show us? And we'll be out of your hair.
Yeah, it's right there. It's the one at the end of the hallway.
Oh. Let me ask you a question.
Okay,
Marquise.
Does the star from yesterday mean anything to you?
You might be able to find one down the street. I don't know.
What does that mean?
Where are we exactly?
And he just passes back out, and you start to realize that he is a drunk.
Oh, okay.
He has a stench of alcohol on him that would make Brian Verderosa blush.
All right.
Riffle is sniffing him. He goes, "Hold on a second." And he like jumps over his passed out body and goes for his his food box.
Oh, he goes to the food box?
Yeah. No.
And it is just chock full of little bottles of liquor, probably 100 of them in there. And same as the other place, a few bottles of milk, little bit of what looks to be kind of like lunch meat, and a couple of eggs.
So I'm taking as much of that liquor as I can carry in my hands.
So Whitfield is just like stuffing his backpack with liquor
bottles
right now.
Yeah, stuffing my backpack with. I have a bag of holding which can hold a lot. So I put one of those little bags in there, and I grab some of the lunch meat. I don't take it all. I take half the lunch meat. I'm not gonna take all his food, and then I grab one of the jugs of milk and put it in the bag.
Okay.
And so I hop back out of over the guy. Should we try the next door?
Yep, let's just go try it.
Well, why not?
So the last one before the one at the end?
Yeah.
Sure.
But listen, this time I'm actually just going to go and knock on the door. Now we've realized these are actually people's houses. So I knock on the door.
And there's no answer.
Oh,
okay,
good.
Now I'm going to try the handle then.
The handle is locked.
Okay.
Checking my inventory, guys, because I want to see if I do not have... Does anybody have anything we can pick this lock? Does anybody have anything we can pick this lock with?
I could just try kicking the door down.
Good one.
All right, so I'm going to do that. I'm just going to try and kick the door in.
It's times like this we miss Hendley.
Why don't you just roll a roll strength check?
12 plus 4, 16.
And that works, and you kick. Tell me what you do with the door.
I just, you know, give it a kick. Not enough to break the door, but just enough to bust it open.
All right, door flies open, and it is basically the same layout as the other rooms you've been in, but completely empty.
No food box?
Food box is there.
Okay, good.
But it is open and empty.
All right. So now, having done this once, I'm going to go back to that first door on the left, and I'm going to give that a kick as well.
Okay. Roll again.
18 plus 4.
All right.
It's just a bull in a china shop.
You'll get used to that.
We didn't even talk about that door.
So same thing, you kick it open, and the exact same situation, it is a completely empty room.
All right, guys, you ready to go see where we are?
Let's go.
All right, so we're going to go and try and just turn the handle on what we've been told is the front door.
What you've been told is the front door, correct?
Yeah.
I don't trust this Marcus.
Well, then, yeah, no, I'll
reeked.
Open it. Apparently, everyone is so terrified of my face that they pass out. So why don't you let me try opening this door? So I'm just going to go up and turn the handle.
Okay. You turn the handle and it opens to the outside.
And where are we?
So
what do we see?
What you see is it is really it's very cold out and it's very dark out. But what you see that you've never seen before is that there are structures, like stone structures that reach to the sky. So high, in fact, that the sky above is only visible as a tiny sliver above you. And the wind is rushing down on you, biting at you with aggression down this paved path that you're on. You don't see any people as of yet in either direction down what looks to just be this long road. But the building that you just walked out of, there are plenty of them all over the place that look very similar. And again, they just keep going up and up and up and up.
Intriguing.
Any lights of any kind? Any torches?
Yeah, it's the same sort of lighting that you saw in the hallway that was dim, but full, as far as not...
I know what you mean.
Yeah. They are much brighter and much more standard in their illumination, but they're on giant poles that are 12, 15 feet in the air, being held up once every probably 10, 12 feet or so, like torches that are lighting the road.
Okay.
So, like... very tall street lamps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like the D&D equivalent of street lamps, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right. And all these right. tall stone towers. Can we see any sign of life? Are these
in the windows?
Yeah,
or anything?
Yeah. Are these windowed?
There are windows and there are lights in some, not in others. It's okay. Mostly dark.
Okay.
Okay, but and there's no people on the streets or any sign of life as such?
Nothing you can see, no.
Okay. Well, I'm going to step out and just, like, shout, hello!
Not a bad plan.
Simple ones are the best.
Nothing happens.
Huh. What is this place? Redfield, have you been anywhere like this before?
I could do a... knowledge check to see if I have.
Okay, go ahead.
Which one is it? It's called history. That's what it's called.
Yep.
History in this. All right, I got plus two on history. Yeah. 17 plus 2, 19.
Okay.
Sweet. Okay.
Even though you are the most well versed in this sort of thing, you don't know anything about it.
I got nothing, guys. I have no memory of this place. Okay.
Nothing seems familiar at all to any of us.
Mm-mm. So Redfield reaches into his bag, and it looks like his arm sort of like goes much deeper than the size of the bag. and he pulls out a broom and he puts it next to him. And I say, Flumakatu! And the room starts to float and I hop on it. I can fly anywhere within 1 mile.
Wow.
Okay.
So I'm going to fly up.
So you're going to have a little look around?
I'm going to fly up and try to fly to one of those like lighted windows to look into it.
Okay.
Okay.
So I fly to one of the lighted windows, whatever the closest one is.
Yep.
And I look into it and I roll an investigation check. 14 plus 2.
And you see another room just like the ones you were in before. Okay. With the better lit, better dressed people, but they look the same as our Carl and Laurel and our Marcus. Nothing too different there.
As in the same kind of species?
Yeah, like, yeah, same kind of size, right. Stuff like that.
Right, okay.
All right. And so I could say, I actually turn around and look back at the building we came out of, which we never did.
Yes.
It's true.
I look back to see if that building looks the same as all the other buildings.
And yeah, they all have a little bit of their own unique flair, as if they were not all made at the exact same time, but they are of the same spirit in their design.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So, but it's still a really tall tower, same thing.
Still a very tall tower.
So we're basically on the bottom floor of one of these really, really
yes.
tall towers. Okay.
I'm like imagining the planet of the bureaucrats from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's good, that's good.
So Redfield zooms back down and actually first I just like check a bunch of the lit windows, like up and down, just to confirm that these indeed all look the same.
More of the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I go to like the tower that I'm on right now, and then I go to the next closest tower and just look in the lit windows again. Are they all like the same?
Yeah, they're pretty much all the same.
With just little differences, but pretty much all the same.
Yep.
Okay. So I zoom back down to you two.
Did you see?
So it seems like all of these rooms that I can see look just like the rooms we just saw in there, with people who look very similar.
Oh. What is this place?
I don't know.
Slum of some sort.
So,
did you see anything from higher up down the street around the block?
You know what, Julian? I didn't really look. I just looked in windows. Hold on a sec. And I try to get like a bigger view and look kind of down the street farther. Do you want me to roll again?
No, you're good.
Okay.
You're good.
Okay.
And you see one solitary person. So you're up in the air and you've turned the corner. Is that what has happened?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So you see one person on what looks to be kind of like a cycle of sorts, and is just throwing stuff at every door as he's going down this road. Now he's going away from you, but he's got something and he's throwing it at every single door.
Okay. So I zoom back.
Yep.
Say, okay. I saw one guy on a bicycle or something, and he's throwing stuff at doors, but he's going away from us.
All right, let's follow after him.
I don't know if we can catch him.
Yeah, can we catch up with him?
I can go and try to get a little closer to him if you guys want to start moving.
Yeah, we'll follow behind you. Let's go.
Okay.
All right. So I hop on the broom myself. Actually, I can carry up to 400 pounds. So I can't carry three.
Exactly.
Three. Oh yeah, exactly.
Oh no, sorry. You go ahead. Okay. You'll be faster, and I'll keep her. I'll keep Thrace out of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, keep Thrace out of trouble.
Okay, so I hop on the broom and I speed to try to catch up with that person who was throwing the newspapers at the doors.
Well, I was just gonna say we're walking on the street. I'm gonna pick up one of these things he threw at the door.
Okay, all right. So I'm zooming towards him. Would you think I'd reach him first, Brian, or that Bob would reach one of the newspapers?
Bob would reach one of the of
or whatever they are,
whatever that is. Yeah, he'd reach that first.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess
I grab one of these, and what do I need to do, Brian?
Nothing. I mean, you just pick something up off the ground, right?
Yep.
Are you looking at it?
I am looking at it. I'm going to. What do I see? What do I have in my hand?
You have a bundle of paper in a. You have probably about 40, 50 pages of paper in your hand, but you can't read it.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You're gonna name one of those vials. I'm way gone.
That's all right. I put it in my pocket. This bears investigation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So at this point, I'm catching up to the guy throwing these bundles of paper. So I come flying down and kind of peel in front of him.
Okay.
Like and kind of stop facing him, still hovering on the broom.
Right. So he looks at, so he can see you.
What's up, my friend?
What do you want, freak?
We'll deal with that later. I'm just wondering what you're doing.
What do you mean? I'm working here. And he tries to just peel off.
I go in front of him again. I readjust and go in front of him.
What's your problem, mister?
I take out my dagger.
Okay.
I go, let's just hold up a second.
Holy cow, what do you have that out there for?
You're just so you don't run away, all right? I just want to ask you a few questions.
You want to ask me a few questions? I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. okay. What do you want to know?
And before I ask him the questions, I'm going to cast Zone of Truth.
Okay.
Which is, you create a magical zone that guards against deception in a 15-foot radius. Centered on a point of your choice within range.
Okay.
So the spell ends, a creature that enters spell area for the first time.
Lie detector of sorts.
Yeah, they have to make a charisma saving throw.
Okay.
Or on a failed save, a creature can't speak a deliberate lie while in the radius.
Okay.
And I know who fails or succeeds on the throw.
Okay.
So okay. So he has to make a charisma saving throw. He has to beat a 12.
Okay. Right. It's a 19.
All right. Well, I guess I'm just gonna have to believe you. You got a lot of charisma, kid. You got a lot of charisma.
You're going places.
So, who do you work for?
I don't know. My mother got me this job.
You don't know who you work for?
Well, my mother set me up, and I give her all the money, so I don't really know.
Who's your mother?
Deborah.
Where does she live?
On the other side of town.
Is that Deborah?
Hey, do you have an apartment? I don't know how this place works. Do you have like a number?
I'm not supposed to talk to strangers.
No, kid, it's okay. My name is Redfield Sharpbush.
Oh, I'm definitely not supposed to talk to you.
I'm an adventurer.
Look, I'm gonna be late. Can I go now?
You really don't know who you work. What's your name? Is Deborah? Deborah what?
Haydenfeld.
Okay, that sounds made up.
It's what? I'm Jimmy Haydenfeld. That's what they
right,
say.
Jimmy.
We walk down the street. They go, oh, there go Deborah and Jimmy Haydenfeld.
This sounds like a really great place to live. All right, you can go. And I put my dagger away.
Am I catching up anytime soon?
You'll catch up soon, but I'll probably be able to zip back to you before you catch up to us.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll meet halfway.
Yeah, yep. All right. So I let Jimmy go.
and he just scurries down the street. That's funny.
And so I zip back over to the two of them.
Just met a guy named Jimmy Haydenfeld. Doesn't know who he works for. Doesn't matter. He doesn't know who he works for. But he delivers these things. It's his job. So we know they have jobs here, at least. What did you guys find out?
Well, we got this bundle of paper that I can't read right now, but perhaps one of our vials from before.
That's a long document, though. We might have to drink one of these.
Yes. Good possibility. I'll take a shot.
All right. So that one is which one? That one's the Kidman Pen Procedure.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
So I grab the little vial.
All right. Are you going to drink? Don't drink the whole thing.
Oh, no. No, just like a quarter.
Okay.
Just like a quarter of it. Take a good long sip.
A mouthful. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I drink this. I open up this paper and see what?
There's a big, in big words, the very top, it says, The Chicago Evening Star, October 15th, 1947.
Guys, is this a star from yesterday?
Oh.
This is the star from today, huh?
That's what that guy meant by there might be one down the street. He was talking about a paper. Oh. It's not a star in the sky at all. Tricky.
Tricky fellas.
But this is the star from today.
Yes.
We need the star from yesterday.
And we can find their address from this paper and go to their office.
Go get Jimmy. See if he has one.
I think Jimmy's...
Jimmy's gone. Long gone.
Jimmy's been scared
no,
away
I'm
for
not.
Good.
Go get him, Redfield. Go get him.
Redmond.
I almost called him Redmond. Yeah.
All right, so I hop on the broom and I zip towards Jimmy again. And I peel out in front of him.
Whoa. One more thing. Where do these papers come from?
They bring them to me in the morning, and I just go bring them over to everyone who's on the list.
Jimmy, I'm going to ask you a question.
You already did
and
that.
I'm going to ask you another question. This one, Your life or death may depend on it.
Can it be my life?
Do you have a paper from yesterday?
Why would I have a paper from yesterday?
Because you maybe somebody didn't want a paper.
Well, I don't know, man. Why don't you go over to the Schneegermorvers?
Schneegermorvers?
Wait.
How can you spell that?
I'm writing this one down.
The Schneegermorvers have been away on vacation all week. I've been just throwing the papers there all week, and no one's been picking them up. I don't think they have any friends.
I don't want to insult your living situation, but all these buildings look the fucking same. Can you point me towards the? Can I follow you to the Schneegermagers?
You gotta need to make it worth my while, Mister.
Do you like milk?
I fucking love milk.
Well, and I reach down and I pull a jug of milk out. How about a nice jug of milk, Jimmy?
How about two?
I don't have two, but I can guarantee you, wherever place we go, I'll have another jug of milk I can give you.
All right, that's fine.
All right, one jug of milk now, one on delivery.
All right.
And so Jimmy just turns around and starts pedaling over to where the
Schneegermorvers.
Schneegermorvers live.
Whatever you were saying was borderline a racist slur. I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember what.
No. So he goes over to the Schneegermorvers.
Wait, before Jimmy, let's wait for my friends to catch up with me.
All right. And Jimmy just opens up the milk and starts guzzling it like he's an Indy 500 winner.
Yeah. All
right. He gets brain freeze. He gets
headache. That milk is warm at this point.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. Warm ass milk. All right, so you guys catch up.
So everybody, this is Jimmy Haddenfolder.
Haydenfeld.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi.
Wait, what?
Hello,
lady. You're ugly.
Don't worry about her.
Scared.
Don't worry about her.
No,
don't worry about her.
It's okay. It's okay. She's with us.
Why is she so ugly?
At this point, I just want a little ball of fire to come out of my mouth. Just a little one.
Jimmy, really? She's like, you know that knife you were so scared of? She's like a living knife. So just. Shut up, Jimmy.
All right,
like, let's go to the Schneegermagers house.
The Schneegermorvers?
Yes, Jimmy, I think you know what I'm talking about.
All right, fine, follow me.
And so Jimmy pedals and everyone's following him, and he brings you to the front door of a nicer-looking building that looks like it's a standalone, not an apartment building, that just has papers strewn about at the bottom of the doorstep.
Okay. Are you happy now?
Yeah, Jimmy, thank you. So, you just throw them at the doorstep. Do other people live in this building, or is just the Schneegermorvers?
Just the Schneegermorvers live here.
Ooh. Interesting.
Upper class.
Upper class Schneegermorvers.
But there's like 40 of them.
Oh, there's a lot of Schneegermorvers. They're all on vacation?
Oh, God.
This milk is terrible. I'm leaving.
Later, Jimmy.
Thanks.
So the paper that we found before, we're talking to Star 10-15-47?
Right.
10-15-47.
47. Right. So we got to find 10-14-47, a pronto.
But Julian's the only one that can see it.
Oh, right. True.
So how big a pile are we talking here? 10 papers, 12
papers?
Yeah,
like 7 to 10.
Okay, so we flush around through the papers. Grab this one.
Does he find it?
Yeah,
dungeon master.
It's there. It's there.
All right.
Who would steal yesterday's paper? Here we go. So we unfold it, open up. The headline reads,
"War hero Ferris Booth to wed Betty Ann Brooks." And there's a photo right below the headline, and it has a picture of a man and a woman kissing. Uh-huh. And below the photo is a caption that says, "Engagement reception to be held tomorrow at the Kimball Hotel."
Huh. Do you think that's the her that we have to warn?
Yeah, this Ferris Booth doesn't looks like a little bit of an asshole to me, if you ask me.
So maybe we need to go find this Betty Ann.
Does it list a date as to when this reception is?
It says tomorrow, and
tomorrow.
This is yesterday's
so
paper, today. So I'm guessing it's
so
today.
Today.
Okay.
Right, we need to find this place.
Jimmy!
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 Where did you go?
Got some milk for you, Jimmy!
Listen, yeah. So is Jimmy coming back? Can we find Jimmy?
No, you cannot find Jimmy, but a man out of nowhere starts running up to the three of you and pulls a knife onto Julian.
All right, so I'm going to step towards Julian so this guy can see exactly what I look like.
Okay.
You need to step away from my friend. Yeah? Let's see what you got, buddy.
Redfield takes the cigarette back out and is back in his
mouth. Yeah, exactly. Sits back and is just like, let's see where this one goes.
I sit down next to Redfield and go, this is going to be good.
Thrace, just don't kill him because he might know where the hotel is.
All right,
just
that's fine.
Maim him a little.
Yeah, it's right down there on Avenue 7.
Avenue 7?
All right, I made that up. It's actually over there on Boyle Street.
Those are very different sounding things. Do I have to cast Zone of Truth on you?
No, he's coming with us.
It's at the corner of Boyle's, of Avenue 7 and Boyle Street.
He's coming with us, and he can show us where it is.
It's a fine idea. So all go ahead, do your thing.
So I'm carrying him by,
Let's ask you, you seem to know the lay of the land around here. Who are these people getting married over here that's on in the paper, right here? Ferris Booth?
Oh, Ferris Booth?
Yeah. Tell us about him.
He's a national treasure.
Really? Why?
He shot down 15 Japs. If it weren't for Ferris Booth, we would have had Pearl Harbor all over again.
Pearl Harbor?
I don't know what he is talking about.
This guy is talking nonsense.
I'm catching some of it, but some seems distant. So who's he marrying? Who is Betty Ann Brooks? Is she a local heroine
Never
as well?
Never
heard of you. You look like the kind of person who heard just about everybody.
I think that's a compliment, so thank you.
Well, Wes, can you tell us where this place is that they're getting married?
You mean 7 Boyle and Avenue Street?
Oh.
Yeah, that's the one.
Take us there.
Kimmel Hotel. It's right here.
Take us there.
Yeah, it's right down the street. He wasn't lying.
All right, good.
You can help us get in here. Thrace, show him to the maitre d'. He's our invitation.
I don't think you guys can get in there. You all look like you're not from here. This is an upscale place.
But you do, so you're going to help us.
I'm not going anywhere.
Thrace, snap his neck.
Okay.
Whoa, 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 whoa. We're not murdering anybody here. Idle threat. I don't know you guys.
You're kind of giving the game away.
I kind of heard that you destroyed half a city, so I don't know.
Well, that is true. We dropped dragons on people. Yeah. And
in the meantime, as we're all talking, he should have just, like, walked off anyway.
Come back here, you. What's your name? What's your name, by the way?
Look, if you want to get in there, you can't look the way that you're looking right now.
All right.
Okay.
Is there a haberdasher around?
Do you have clothes here that will make her not look like a dragon?
How do you feel about layers?
Listen, I could take that potion that shrinks me a little.
Oh.
But I don't know.
Well, that made me bigger.
Idea.
Is it going to make you smaller? We don't even know.
Oh, yeah. And making me bigger probably wouldn't be helpful.
That would probably be the opposite of what. Maybe if you just sniff it a little bit and I hand you the vial, Thrace.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to take a big sniff.
And like that, Thrace, in her giant frame, just shrinks down a little bit. Her features, again, soften and become a little bit more, I don't know, smoke show.
Oh. He didn't just say I got bigger. He said I started to look more human. Before.
And then after a few seconds, it goes away because she just gave it a sniff.
Right. Listening skills.
Yes.
How long has it been since Bob drank that fourth of a vial?
Yeah, probably about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Still working?
So that's what I'm going to ask you. I look at the paper again and see. Look at your paper and see if you can still read it.
I'm looking.
And it's clear as day to Bob.
Okay.
So we're good 10 minutes in at least.
Yeah. I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't want a whole, like, situation where we're, like, turning back into our weird selves while we're talking to this Betty.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you could probably tell, right? We'll just have to run out if we start reverting.
Maybe we should drink the whole thing just to be safe.
Well, I don't want to get stuck looking boring and normal forever.
I don't think that's going to be a problem. That'd be a weird narrative decision.
It does seem like someone is controlling what's going on, doesn't it?
Yeah, let's drink half.
So, okay. So, yeah, see, me and Redfield are just going to drink half each.
Half of our Westlake elixirs.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, I don't need to.
You don't need to. No, right. No. You're just a human man.
We can definitely work on your sartorial sense.
Does it change our clothes at all, or no?
Yep.
Oh, it does.
Yep.
So you might want to drink it.
It's changing your appearance to be more human.
And to blend in.
Did you drink them all? You drank your half right
yes.
now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So both Thrace and Redfield get pretty much on the same playing field. Like he grows a few feet or foot and a half. She drops about a foot or so. And like I said, their features soften. They appear human. And their clothes, again, are just kind of, they're still the same sort of color scheme and material, but they just don't look like things from another world. They look like more ratty human stuff that has now become a bit more sleek.
Oh, okay. I'm going to turn around. Is there anywhere I can catch sight of my reflection looking like this? Is there any windows or?
Yeah, there's windows.
All right, I'm going to spin around and look in a window. Oh my goodness, look at me. I feel pretty, oh so pretty. Wow. So I'm very happy right now because for like the first time ever, I actually am blending in.
So Julian, you might want to drink it too.
Yes.
To change your clothes because you look
absolutely.
Like a, not somebody who would be in this place. All right, so Julian drinks his half too.
Yep. And what
so
do
now we
have?
All look kind of normal.
It's Ralph Finney's.
All right, Ralph Finney's. What does Julian look like now?
How'd you guys do that?
We're very good.
Yeah, can I have some?
Guys, before we go in, just wondering, we know what all these potions do, except I don't really understand what that the one did, the Aguilara.
Uh-huh.
I just saw like a face.
Right.
So, you know what? And he just takes the vial and pops it in his mouth and drinks it all and then throws the empty vial down on the ground.
Wow, Redfield.
Sometimes you gotta live.
And out of nowhere, this is only in Redfield's field. This hallucinogenic kind of creature appears, and it looks to be a very like almost clouds are forming in front of his face, and he sees a face just get closer and closer to his face, and it starts to speak, and
oh boy.
Hello.
I need another. Hello.
I am your answer or your clue. I will give you three times an answer or a clue. I could really use a drink. Do you have a question? Or do you want a clue? I understand that you did not know what I was going to do, what I did, what I do. So I will explain in better detail what you need to do.
Redfield looks around to the other two and goes, are you guys seeing this shit?
No.
No, but you look a little weird.
This is pretty cool. So there's like a face in front of me.
Hey,
and it's asking
I'm talking
me
to
if
you.
I want to ask him a question or what?
I would like to explain.
Yeah, I'm talking to my friends.
A little bit of what you need to know. And this is what we call a freebie. The Westlake Elixir will grant the person drinking it the ability to be disguised as from their true self for a period of 99 minutes. The Shelby solution will grant the person drinking it absolute amnesty from their memories for the last 5 minutes. The Kidman pen procedure grants the drinker permanent fluence in the language of the land, almost like an interpreter. And the Aguilera remedy
I hate you so much. I hate you with every bit of my being. All right, go ahead.
Don't worry about
What's that reference exactly?
There's a Nicole Kidman Sean Penn movie that came out like 15 years ago called The Interpreter.
Oh my god, that's it. Wow.
Oh, and I already get the fucking Aguilera thing now, obviously.
Yeah.
It's my genie in a bottle.
As I said before, you only have two of me left, but I will give you one more piece of information for free before you can ask your question or get a clue. This world is a sort of in-between place. The wretched, the evil, the wicked, from where you call home, are sent here upon their demise as a punishment. They disguise themselves as human, but the same monsters you know from your land are alive and well here.
Hey guys, we're in some sort of purgatory. These people aren't people, they're really monsters. All right.
Yikes.
Just to let you know.
What?
I gotta go back to this floating
thing. Would you
like
to share it?
Okay.
I just did. You paying attention? I can't even see her and she's annoying me.
It's not a she.
Oh.
Unless it's a she with a very deep voice.
I can't hear, so I'm just assuming.
They're gonna give us three questions or give us three clues. I'm guessing now one for each of these vials. I thought I was getting three, but apparently that's not the case.
That is correct. If you decline to ask a question or get a clue now, I will grant two upon a later imbibing of my Aguilera remedy.
Do we have a question that's pressing at the moment?
Ask him what we're supposed to warn her about.
We found a note back when we apparated in the room with the desk, and it said, "No time to explain. You must warn her. Start with a star from yesterday." Should I ask him who we're warning or what we're warning about?
I take whatever you can
Mayfield,
out of him.
I am an omniscient hallucinogenic being. I know everything you know, and you know almost nothing of what I know.
Yeah, but that doesn't help me ask a question.
No, it doesn't. Get whatever information you can out of him.
I think he's going to be a real dick about the number of questions or clues he gives me.
Be careful about your inflections in these statements, okay? I've right. seen this movie
should
before.
Should I ask him who...
Yes. Who should we warn?
I'd say what we're supposed to warn her about. I think we figured out that it's Betty Ann Brooks.
What are we supposed to warn this person about?
Ferris Booth is not what he seems. If they wed as intended, she will merely be a dream.
He said some really weird shit. He said, Ferris Booth isn't what he seems. If they wed, she'll just be a dream. Something like that.
That's an odd thing to say.
Yeah, he kind of answered like a dick.
Yeah, right? He didn't really tell me. You a straight up answer?
No. Yeah.
He's going to kill her. Jag off. And he just disappears.
Bye. So he's going to kill her. That's what that meant, apparently. I don't know why he just said that in the first place. And tell me to fucking nursery rhyme.
Yeah.
All right. So, here's the other thing. I learned more details about the potions.
Oh, good.
This elixir we took, the whole thing gives us 99 minutes of being disguised. So we've probably got now, I don't know, like we had 33 minutes after we took it. No. 48 minutes.
Yeah, 48 and some change. Yeah.
After we drank it. I don't know. It's been 10 minutes since we drank it. 5 minutes since we drank it. I don't even know. So we might want to end up drinking the whole thing. The Shelby solution gives us erases our memory for the last 5 minutes.
Let's save that one for some of these people.
The Aguilera remedy is that stupid douche who answers our questions or gives us a clue. And the Kidman Pen procedure will translate anything in the common tongue that we're in. Like an interpreter.
All right. So we should both take one of those.
Yeah, because maybe... It's weird that we can understand what the people are saying, but we can't read their language.
Yeah.
And we're going to chuck that to first-time failure.
I'm gonna drink the rest of my Westlake elixir, and I'm gonna drink the Kidman Pen procedure vial as well.
Yeah. Yes, I'm drinking my Kidman Pen as well. Yeah.
And you're gonna drink the rest of you guys rest of your Westlakes as well. Okay. So we drink them all. We link arms and we walk into the hotel.
Oh, sorry.
We're here for the Ferris party.
The desk clerk says, "It's 6 in the morning. That starts at 4 p.m.
We want the best seats.
Can you start now? We have kind of a rush situation.
No.
Do we look like we need an invitation?
They said it was Will Cole.
Do you know who he is? He's the Sausage King
Coming
of
out
Chicago.
From the office is a large man, probably 6'4", big hands. In a uniform, little hat, and he says, "You shouldn't be here. You need to go."
Look, Mr. Banana Hands, we're just here for the party.
You shouldn't be here.
We're old friends of Ferris and of Miss Betty.
You just had to look down
Brooks.
At a piece of paper to read her name. You're very good friends with her.
Old, really old friends.
Which was?
I used to call her by her nickname.
It's Bab.
Pants.
Betty Ann Brooks. Bab. It's that easy.
That's what we
old
called her something
pants.
Way different before. Old hot pants.
He would know.
She was a different girl back then.
Different girl back then.
Is there any reason that you're here for the event 10 hours before it begins?
Like you said, we wanted to get good seats. You know, we thought they might put out a little buffet.
Yeah, a lot of these, like, events are, like, all day.
Breakfast buffet.
Gym.
You
gym
shouldn't
jammers.
Be here. You
My watch doesn't
go.
Work very well.
Well, shouldn't we shouldn't be here because it's not here?
And
or because you don't want us
that
to
moment,
be here?
Revealing to you, but not to the secretary behind him, it's you can see that this is actually a dire wolf. You shouldn't be here.
Oops.
You need to go.
Well, I'll go back to my regular voice since you're showing me how you really look. I don't understand why you being a direwolf and telling me that would make me want to leave be any more than a big security man.
With one fell swoop.
That's debatable.
If you're
I killed a lot of direwolves.
Go ahead and test me. If you aren't, leave here and don't come back.
Well, can you give me
you
one second?
Five.
Guys, really quick, I think we need to kill this guy because we need to be here.
Yes, yes, we need to go. Yeah.
Lightning bolt.
All right.
Okay, so we need to do this, but is there any side effect to this other potion?
Oh.
Like, as in, am I no longer 7 foot tall and
ridiculously
strong?
No, it's Yeah, it's an appearance
cosmetic.
Thing. So not only do the others perceive you to be human, if you were to look in a mirror, you'd see yours again, as you saw your reflection in the mirror, Redfield and Julian see you that way, but you retain all of your power. You just don't have your size. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're still you in a smaller package.
Yes.
So,
all right.
So as we're
roll
okay,
for
so
initiative,
we should
yeah.
roll for initiative, I guess.
Yes.
Okay. We're gonna fight.
6.
15 plus 2, 17.
14.
All right, 14 for Bob.
Bobby, you're up first. What are you gonna do?
All right. So, I'm going to. Let me see you really quick. This is my first time attacking with this gentleman. Let's see here. Okay. All right. I'm going to cast Sacred Flame. Flame-like radiance ascends on a creature that you can see within range. The target must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or take 1d8 radiant damage. The target gains no benefit from cover for this saving throw. And I have to... The saving throw would be... he has to be at a 12.
Okay. 20!
Okay, so he breaks. So the sacred flame just burns down.
It somehow gets out of the building, goes all the way back to Carl and Laurel's, and burns them up alive. Next is Bob.
All right.
What are you going to do, Bob?
Okay. Ray of Enfeeblement. A black beam of enervating energy shoots toward a creature within range, and any attack that, if I get a hit, you will only deal half damage with weapon attacks that use strength until the spell ends. At the end of each of the target's turns, you have to make a constitution saving throw against the spell.
So
7 plus... 10? Where am I
and
at?
And I'm doing a constitution saving throw here?
10 total.
Yep.
14. So the dire wolf is going to attempt to just rip Julian's throat out. And he's pretty fast. He's going right for Julian. And he rolled a 3. He does not hit. He does...
beats Julian's armor.
I'm not even going to ask you. So he misses.
Okay, Thrace.
Okay. Inferno. My Inferno Bomb. Oh, hang on. My goodness. I've forgotten what I can do now.
You have...
So I have my Bracer of Badassness. Mm-hmm. So I have my Dragon Glaive in one and my Warhammer in the other. So I am going to attack with my Warhammer and then with my Dragon Glaive. So I rolled a 16 plus...
21.
5.
Yeah, that hits.
Yeah, right? Yeah. All right, so that was my Warhammer, which is 1d8 plus 4. I rolled a 6 plus 4, so 10 points damage. And then my Dragon Glaive, I have to roll for that again as well, right? Mm-hmm. D20 to see if I hit.
Yes.
So 1d10. See, I have like a plus 5 on my attack bonus for the Warhammer.
It would be the same thing for the Dragon Glaive.
Oh, okay.
Fuck! Right, 15. Yeah.
Alright, 15.
Okay.
Okay. So then I am rolling 1d10. Which is this one. And I rolled a 5. So 5, okay. So 15 in
so
total.
So the direwolf actually is... his head is contorted because the Warhammer has indented it, so he's definitely has not just brain damage, but brain loss. No, not brain loss of brain function. There's a loss of part of his brain that's gone. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
It has literally kinda, a piece
it's kinda
of
squeaked
brain
through
out.
His ear in almost Ain't Another Brick in the Wall Part 2 sausage fashion. And he's kind of stumbling around, like, again, sorry for you new listeners, there's going to be just a lot of references here, but like Michael Biehn is Johnny Ringo in Tombstone when he's been shot in the head, like, just kind of doesn't know what's going on, but he's still up, and he's still not down, and still a threat. So it's back up to Bobby.
Okay, so I'm going to use, let's see here. My spiritual weapon. So basically, you create a floating spectral weapon within range that lasts for the duration or until you cast the spell again. When you cast the spell, you can make a melee spell attack against a creature within 5 feet of the weapon. On a hit, the target takes force damage equal to 1d8 plus your spell casting modifier.
Can you see that last part again?
So it's basically I'm attacking.
Yep.
It takes 1d8.
Your spell casting modifier?
Plus,
okay.
Yeah, my spellcasting modifier. Yes.
All right, so roll.
Yes. Okay. 15 Ooh. Plus
it hits.
4. Yeah, 19. And then he takes 1d8 plus 4. So 12. So wait, so 1d, I gotta roll the 8d8. That would be good, right? 8. Ooh. Plus 4 is 12. It's like, okay. And it's like a floating weapon that just like, I conjure it. And it's okay. I make it into a trident.
Which manifests as a physical thing, or is it continually spiritual? Okay.
It's continually spiritual. So it goes at him, and I aim for the open part
and
of his brain.
And it hits, and is just scooping out more and more of that brain. This direwolf is basically like a seal in the ocean with one flipper, just swimming in a circle, freaking out his whole family. And but again, still has his claws out, and looks at Bob. I'm sorry, it looks at Julian, wanting to attack, but it is Julian's turn.
This might be overkill, but lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Stroke of lightning forming a line 100 feet long by 5 feet wide. Burst in a direction you choose. Each creature in the line must make a dexterity saving throw.
In the line?
That is such...
They're all behind you.
No, they're all... Yeah. I've stepped to the front. They're all behind me.
Right.
They know better. They're cowering in the corner.
Well, to be fair, you kind of have to say, you step in front of us, because if not, you'd shoot us all.
Okay. All right, roll.
Fourteen.
That hits.
Plus 3, so 17. You take 8d6 lightning damage.
There is a possibility that this character lives through this, but it is not likely.
Who's doing the counting here?
Oh, I'll do the counting. Go ahead. 5.
4. 6.
Jesus.
5. 5. 6. 3.
Wow.
How many more? I have one more. 3.
I'm not even adding that up.
All right. So I'm adding it up because I want to know. I need to know.
In a row.
What? 37.
So
37 points of damage.
Direwolf looks at Julian with just wide eyes and surprise, and bursts into ash, just fills up with hot white lightning and is obliterated, is gone.
Wow.
Well, if that Aguilera guy is anything to say, you just killed this guy for the second time.
So, and right behind you at the reception desk, there's a young lady filing her nails, and she says, "You guys want a room or what?"